Please stand for the reading of God's word. From John 6, 37, all that the Father gives me will come to me, and whoever comes to me, I will never cast out. This is the word of the Lord.
Well, good morning again. So we typically preach through books of the Bible here, and we're preaching through one verse today, John 6, 37, but we believe that these are not just good suggestions. We actually believe these are very words from God. And, you know, like sometimes when you vouch somebody or like, hey, you can take him at his word. You know, whatever he says, he's gonna keep his word. He's gonna be a man of his word. Like all those things are most accurately said of him, said of God. Like we can take him at his word. So we want to hear his word and hear what he's saying to us. And so what we typically do, instead of just me each week being like, hey, what should we preach on? Instead, we usually walk through books of the Bible believing like he kind of knows way better than we do. Like, hey, we need to cover this particular week. So we're starting the truly majestic. I mean, you could say all 66 books of the Bible are majestic, and the book of Hebrews is no exception. And I just mentioned that next week we'll start walking through the book of Hebrews, and you are 100% welcome not just to come, but bring friends or family with you. We do have these. I saw a bunch of people have already gotten quite a bit of it, but we have a lot more than we put out here. And these are free, and what these are just the book of Hebrews where every other page is blank. So the whole idea is that throughout the series, if God's really like sharing something through something, you can really write it down and stuff. Now, if everybody has one of these, we won't know whose is whose if you accidentally leave it. So if you get one, please write your name in it, and please don't get six. But if you get one, write your name in it, and then hopefully, Lord willing, if you leave it, we can find it and everything or get it to you. So we're going through Hebrews starting next week. This week, though, I really did feel led to preach from John 6, 37, reflecting on today's our sixth year birthday as a church, which is miraculous and amazing, and kind of thinking about what are core things that we've trusted in and walked in for the last 6 years that we know we can count on for the next 60 years. And John 6, 37 is one of them. I'll read it, and then we'll go through it. And for Michaela, too, if you basically just want to leave it up there for most of the time, we're just going to keep coming back to that verse. So John 6 in the New Testament, one of four Gospels, you might say wasn't one enough. It's not, because he chose for it not to be enough. And also, it's like four facets of a diamond. It says very similar things, but it's written, some of them are written to different people groups. Some have different purposes. Some talk about some things, others don't. They're all in their own ways being empowered by God to speak. And so John is giving us a beautiful picture of what Jesus said, what he did. And here, this is what Jesus said after he's talked about him being the bread of life. And if we eat from him, we will have what we need. He says, all that the Father gives me will come to me. And whoever comes to me, I will never cast out. No exceptions. I'll say again. All that the Father gives me will come to me. And whoever comes to me, I will never cast out. Every word in this is dripping with significance. It's dripping with power to heal us. Heal us in ways that we might not even know we're broken. Find us in ways we didn't even know we were lost. All that the Father gives me. Okay, so we're just going to kind of walk through word by word here. All that the Father gives me. The first word, all. It's not most. It's not some. But all. When God the Father sets his gaze on you, when God the Father sets his loving gaze on any of us wandering sinners, our rescue is certain. All the Father, okay? The Father, our rescue, our forgiveness of sins, it does not involve a out of control, angry, raging dad, where Jesus is just kind of like the older brother trying to talk down the angry dad. That is not reality. That is not what we're talking about here at all. The Father himself, out of composed love, premeditated love, takes the initiative of our salvation, of our rescue. All that the Father gives me. Okay, this is from Jesus' perspective, second person of the Trinity, Father, Son, Holy Spirit. We have one God who exists as three persons. If you're like, that sounds complicated, it is. It is. We're actually like creatures trying to understand a limitless, eternal God. I've used the illustration before that, like, I've heard that an iPhone, that no human being actually understands how it works. Like, you have PhDs in engineering, PhDs in user interface design or whatever, you know, how ones and zeros can become a Netflix show on a phone with it floating through the air. It's like not one human being understands that whole process. And that's a phone. The God that made everything is eternal. When he speaks, worlds submit to his word and come into existence. Do you think he would be more complex than an iPhone? Absolutely. You know, so the what we have to grasp here is that we have one God that's been so clear, and what we learn is he exists as three persons eternally: the Father, the Son, and the Holy Spirit. And here, the eternal one, Jesus, is saying, all that the Father gives me. The Father and the Son don't argue over souls. They don't haggle over souls. It's the Father's deep delight to fully and freely give, entrusting rebellious sinners into the gracious hands of his Son. Nail-scarred hands. All that the Father gives me will come to me. God's saving purpose for a single sinner is never thwarted. He is never frustrated in his pursuit. He never runs out of resources in his pursuit of humanity. If the Father calls us to himself, we will come to Christ. All that the Father gives me will come to me. And whoever comes. So while the Father is clearly in control of our rescue, we are not dragged kicking and screaming into Christ, into relationship with him against our will. This is mysterious. This is radical, and God's work is so radical that it reaches down and turns around our very desires. Colton testified of this. Many other people have testified of this. I testify this in my own life, is that God, his work is so radical that it reaches down and turns around our very desires. He opens our eyes. I once was blind and now I can see. He becomes beautiful to us. We come to him. And here he says, anyone, whoever comes, is welcome. And we're all welcome to Jesus this morning, truly, significantly. It's not just these six and the rest of us are too bad for him, too far away from him, done too much, had too much done to us. All, whoever comes to me. So I'm thankful, and sorry, I missed the last two words. Whoever comes to me. We do not come to a religion. We do not come to a tradition. We do not come to a set of rules. We do not come to a philosophical, constructed thing. We come to a person. Whoever comes to me, to the living, risen, alive Jesus. Those who are being baptized this morning have come to him. Whoever comes to me. So I'm thankful. I am thankful for this reality. I hope we can say we are thankful that this is reality. This is truth. And the last section, equally so. All that the Father gives me will come to me, and whoever comes to me, I will never cast out. Jesus originally was not speaking English. English wouldn't even be, it's kind of a mind bender, but English wasn't even invented at that time. There was no English speakers when Jesus was speaking. Jesus was actually speaking in one of the most precise languages that humanity has seen. Engineers love Greek. Hebrew is like for the art, like the artsy people love Hebrew. It's so beautiful. It looks beautiful. Greek is like, man, if you're an engineer, I've got a language for you. When Jesus spoke these words, when he was speaking Greek, he said, "U me ekbalo echo." Please hear me. He was saying, "You know, understand me." Now we, he's like, understand what I'm saying. I'm using the most precise language that has probably existed, and I want to say as precisely as possible, "U me ekbalo echo." So very literally what he says is, I will not throw you out. He doubles up. U is not. And he says me, which is like another way of saying not. He's like, not throw you out. So when a negative is doubled up on, like today we would just start just pumping exclamation points, right? It's like you just keep your finger on the screen, you know, and it's just like, let the exclamation points just keep going, you know? Sometimes if that's like how you always talk, it's like pizza exclamation points nonstop, right? But here he's like, truly, if you ever doubt whether Jesus has had enough of you, like, if you ever doubt if he's going to be like, you know what, forget it. If you ever have an inkling of that feeling, he as clearly and as at the full disposal of the language that he was talking about says, never, like, no, never. Don't ever, ever, ever let them even consider it. I will never cast them out. Never. John Bunyan lived about 400 years ago. He lived in the 1600s. He came to Jesus after getting married. He had four kids, and he eventually started pastoring a church in England. This was a rough time in England in the early 1600s, and it would become illegal, like radically illegal, like to the point of execution. Not to murder someone, but to preach what I'm preaching. Isn't that crazy? Like, it was actually highly illegal to preach, and they'd say an unauthorized sermon. So the institutional church of the time wanted to control what was preached everywhere, and you had to be licensed and all this stuff, and they were just leading people away from the life-changing truths that we've been hearing about all morning. The Puritans got on the Mayflower to come here to get away from that. And so at about this time, we have John Bunyan, who doesn't get on the Mayflower. He actually wasn't, I think, born at that time. He was born a few years later. But he, when he gets older, he starts preaching. He ends up spending 12 years of his life in prison for preaching. His wife had passed away when he was about 30, and he, one of his four kids, a daughter of his, was blind, and life was just really hard and really rough, and he didn't have family support and stuff like that. He wasn't educated, all sorts of things, and so they're actually, like, no one could take care of his blind daughter, so they actually had her in prison with him so he could take care of her together. Like, life is hard in 1600s prison in England, and now you're caring for your blind daughter with no ability to work because you're in prison, all of this stuff. So Bunyan could have felt like, man, I hear what you're saying, but my life is showing he's done with me. The pain of my life, the pain of my daughter's life is showing I don't believe it. He could go there. He could say, I think God's cast me out. I'm rotting in a jail. And by God's grace and power and presence in his life, he actually started writing instead. Started writing books. And he actually wrote, many people I don't think know this, he wrote outside of the Bible the most sold book in the history of humanity. Like, outside of Mao Zedong or whatever during the World War II time, making everybody have his terrible book about his ruling, of people who actually willfully have bought a book under their own compulsion, no humans have bought more copies than Pilgrim's Progress, which John Bunyan wrote outside of the Bible. And it's a great book about a life lived following Jesus. It's written really creatively. I've read about a guy who read it 90 times in his lifetime, a guy who lived in the 1800s. And John 6:37 was one of John Bunyan's favorite verses of Scripture. Puritans did this. He wrote an entire book in 1678 on this one verse, entire book on this one verse, reveling in its truth, just sitting in it from every angle that he could possibly sit in, soaking it up like a jacuzzi of God's truth, just letting it soak in. And Bunyan says this about the last part of John 6:37. He says, they that are coming to Jesus Christ are oftentimes heartily afraid that Jesus Christ will not receive them. This observation is implied in the text. I gather it from the largeness and openness of the promise, I will never cast out. For had there not been a proneness in us to fear casting out, Christ need not to have waylaid our fear as he does by this great expression, I will never cast out. So that it's kind of a little bit of a dense writing there, but what he's basically saying is, if we didn't feel that way, he probably wouldn't need to tell us that. But because we feel that way, because we're prone, as he says, For had there not be a proneness, because we are prone to fear him being like, yeah, I meant that about everybody except for you. I mean, come on, let's be real. We all know you. Definitely did not mean you. He's like, we are all prone to that. And he must say that so that we must, you know, so that we can actually know. Jesus teaches us truths because he knows us well. He knows that we'll question his love for us. Patty and I, back 20 plus years ago, 15 years ago, became foster parents. And we ended up doing a lot of respite care, which is basically like helping foster parents when they need to go out of town or need a, you know, need some extra help or whatever. But we went through through more than I thought of training for foster parenting. Like a lot of classes we sat in, had background checks. They interviewed people that knew us. They visited homes and stuff, or visited our home. And I just really vividly remember part of the training was how much they talked about basically, you know, all very hard situations, but about like the tendency of the kid that you might have the opportunity to love and serve and be with, but the tendency of them to seek to sabotage the moment. And just like how common it is for a kid to like do something that is just like really, really hard, you know, and would make you be like, hey, they're too much. They need to go back. You know, just like, yeah, that they would just step into that, you know, or maybe run away or something. And I saw this many times in other people, especially. We didn't experience that a lot, Patty and I, but I saw multiple people. And what was really interesting, too, some of them were even after the family that really loved them and would take a bullet for them and even, like, legally adopted them. Then, like, it would just be like, whoa, what happened? You know, like, it seems like they're totally seeking to sabotage it, you know? And what we had learned was that when you're just so used to the love not lasting, or when you're just so used to being cut off, being canceled, being, you know, raged at and, like, never seeing that person again or whatever, that the risk of actually like being vulnerable and opening your life up and receiving that type of love and giving that type of love, that the risk of that going away is so extreme that it's like, it's probably gonna happen. I might as well just take matters into my own hands and just drive them away right now before we even start this relationship thing. And how even like, I remember a lot of foster parents that's being like, hey, don't give up. I know that they just really, you know, did things that you have every right to send them back. But, like, I think they're just testing your love, you know? And I just thought of that as he teaches us that we have been adopted into his family. Faith in Jesus, you're actually adopted into his family in a way that he calls us brothers and sisters. We can call him our brother, the Ancient of Days, our brother, the Prince of Peace, we've got in our family tree. And he's assuring us, and he has the power to do it, to say, hey, I already know your best moves 5 years from now. And I'm just telling you right now, it's a never. Bunyan continues to write about this. He keeps teasing this idea. But I am a great sinner, say you. I will never cast out, says Christ. But I'm an old sinner. I've been doing this a long time, say you. I will never cast out, says Christ. But I'm a hard-hearted sinner, say you. I will never cast out, says Christ. But I'm a backsliding sinner, say you. I will never cast out, says Christ. But I've served Satan most of my life, say some of you. I will never cast out, says Christ. But I've sinned against light, say you. I will never cast out, says Christ. But I've sinned against mercy, say you. You've forgiven me so many times, and I still do it. I will never cast out, says Christ. But I've no good thing in me, say you. I will never cast out, says Christ. No weight, we might say, approaching Jesus. You don't understand. I've really messed up in all kinds of ways. I know, he responds. You know most of it, sure. Certainly more than what others can see, but there's darkness, there's perversity, like deep inside of me that no one sees. Yeah, I know it all. Well, the thing is, it isn't just my past, like it's my right now too. I understand. but I don't know if I can break free of this anytime soon. That's actually the only kind of person I'm here to help, really. Well, the burden is just, it's heavy, and life, it's just getting heavier all the time. Then let me carry it. It's just too much. It's not for me. You don't get it. My offenses, they just aren't against other people. They're actually against you. Then, hey, I'm the most suited to forgive them. But the more of the ugliness in me you discover, the sooner you'll get fed up with me. Whoever comes to me, I will never cast out. And those being baptized today have come to him, are beginning to experience Jesus this way. He's not casting them out. What's stopping us from coming to him? What's stopping us? Maybe it's the pain in your life. Maybe it's physical pain in your body. Maybe it's brokenness in your mind, making you feel like, man, this is all proof that he's cast me out. And he says, I will never cast you out. Can this be a room where whoever's coming to me, he says, whoever comes to me, can we all be the whoever's? All whom the Father is giving lovingly to his Son for the healing of our souls. Would we come to him and live? Would we come to him and find our life, forgiveness, freedom, healing, a relationship that is unlike any other relationship that allows all of our other relationships to heal, to have the possibility of healing? Coming to him this morning, would we come to him? Come as we're going to him. Can I pray that we could step into that? Lord, you know every one of our stories. You know our full backstory. You know the longest version of the longest story. And thank you that this is true. Thank you that these things are true of what you say about us. Would you, I just think of the guy who just looked Jesus in the eye and said, I believe, help my unbelief. Maybe that is a brutally honest prayer that some of us need to pray in this room this morning. If walls are starting to go up that Jesus, you want to tear down, would you knock those walls down and it would make someone just laugh and take delight in that you're being true to your word and you are the pursuing one. And Lord, would we have open hands, soft hearts, open ears? Lead us in your ways this morning, Jesus, we pray.